accession number 19533, Reel 2.
Ron Dixon, Reel 2.
I released my kit bag and tried to grip it with my hand, but it just went, was too much, and it went straight through my hands and hurtled down straight off. So anyhow, I thought, well, I don't know, don't know what'll happen, I can't do anything about it now. Probably find it on the deck when I get down. So anyhow, I got down on the ground and it was so quiet, and it was in a big field, and there wasn't a lot of people about, but I'd just been walking so far, and a voice said, "Who's that?" I said, "Oh, it's Major Stevens." He said, "Yeah." I said, "Dixon, sir, your signaller." "Oh, good, come with me." So he had a compass, and he knew exactly where to go to, and we went through this hedge in the field, and we came to the where we're supposed to rendezvous the battalion at the quarry in Ramville. And he took us there, and there was a few, quite well, I should say, about at that time, 20 or 30 paras out of our battalion, all there. And we just lay in the ditch. They told us to lay there and don't do anything. And it gradually, all the paras came until I think there was about just over 100 of us, you see. And the CO wasn't there, so whoever was second in command, he said, "Right, off we go, out of here." Our objective was Le Bar de Ramville, which was only a couple of miles away. So we went along this lane, as I remember it, you see, and we got to this little village, hamlet it was, more or less, only a few houses there, farms, and we got into a hedgerow there, and we lay down, no Germans, no action, no firing or anything. And it was getting dawn. We stayed there for some time, and it was dawn. And who should come out of the farm there but a lady, and she wanted to know what it was all about. She came up to us, and she said, "Monsieur, monsieur." So we said, well, in our bit of French we knew, we said the invasion was on, you know, Les Anglais Paris and all that. Oh, yeah. And she went back into the farm again and came out with a jug of milk, you see. And so I had some chocolate, so I gave her some chocolate. And we thought, oh, we're all friendly now, that. So, funny thing about it, that years afterwards, I went to this farm again to see, and the old lady was there. She was, in fact, it was her 100th birthday, and we told them, it's some friends that I'd made there after the war when we'd been over to France, that about this old lady at the farm, you see, and she didn't tell us. But she got to the family and told the family that there's an English para who was there on D-Day, you see, and they all wanted to meet him, who he was and all that, you see. So they took us round there, and the house was full, the tables were full, wine on it and everything. And the old lady was just sat there in a bonnet. She was 100, and she looked 100 as well. And I don't think she really knew who I was, but they understand, and her family did, you see. So that was just a little incident that happened from D-Day when we met the first meeting of the French there. So going back to D-Day, we were there around that area, Le Bar de Ramville and Ramville, for quite some time, action all the time, every day, mortared, shelled, everything, but everything was all right.
How did your signals work get gone?
Pardon?
How did your signals work go?
We were quite good that we could... I was in contact with the CEO and each company that... quite good. The radios were good, and we had practically at least 20 of the signal platoon was able to operate. Quite a number of the platoon, as with the battalion, had been dropped in the wrong place, and we didn't see them for quite some time. Anyhow, came the 12th of June, and we'd been brought into a rest area where we had first clean clothing we'd had since D-Day. And we were told, well, we weren't told anything at first, but we got ready, kitted out, weapons cleaned and everything, and off we went. Off the battalion went, which was only about 300, no more than 300 altogether, and we went to a place close to Breville, and we was in this church. All the battalion was in this church, the three of them, and then we were told we were taking Breville. Well, I believe that Breville was full of Germans, and the Black Watch had tried to get them out in the previous stage before, and they couldn't. And they were able to fire on the beaches. They had vision right through to the beaches. They could see everything was going on, and they were firing all the time. So Breville had to be taken. And the only units that they had to do anything like that with the 12th Battalion, and there was only, with a company of 12th Devon, there was only 300 of us. So we came out of the church, and we got to which we was the starting line. I hadn't a clue what it was. It was just that we were going into Breville. We could see the houses at Breville in front of us, and we advanced. We went across this field. Well, we'd only been gone not many yards, 20 yards or 30 yards there. It was dusk. You only see a few things. And everything opened up. I wonder whether there was air bursts, and there was machine gun fire coming right across, tracer bullets coming at us, mortars being dropped, and shells. I thought, well, who's shelling from here? And it so happened that some of the ships at sea, British, was firing on us. You see, they're doing, we're dropping short, and we're firing on us. So we lost quite a few, and all that, we'd just gone a bit, and they said, right, take cover. I thought, cover, where? Anyhow, I saw a slit trench there, so I jumped in, and God, there was a German in the slit trench, and he put his hands up, and he says, comrade, comrade, prisoner, prisoner. I said, stay there, mate. And he gave me a Luger, and that there. So I said, so a sergeant said, come on, out now, on we go. And I said, you stay there. And I said, somebody will pick you up. Stay there to this cherry. So off we went, and we got to the edge of, which I didn't know then, but we got to the edge of Breville, and we was... There was a few of us around there. There was the CO and the second in command, the adjutant, round there. And I think there must have been about half a dozen. And there was such a bang against this wall that I wondered what it was. I didn't know, but evidently it was a shell that had dropped amongst us. I was blown on the floor ages ago, and I put me there. I thought, oh, God, it's blood, but it wasn't. I was all right. But it wounded it killed the CO, it wounded the adjutant and the others, and remarkable that that I wasn't unconscious or anything. I knew what was happening all the time.
How close to the CO were you?
I wasn't far away that I can remember. Wasn't far away that there was all grouped round this wall, and that was going into that. And as that we went into Breville itself, and we took houses and all that, the thing was that in each house, you know, but most of the Germans had already gone. They'd already gone when we got in. I think the fire, the gunfire and all our ships, the shelling and all that, had scared them, and they were on the way out, did they? And the count, must have been nearly hour, 2 or 3 o'clock then, and it was such a weird noise all night there in Breville, and I believe it was, you see, they had an organ in the church was absolutely shattered down, and I think it was the organ there, the wind things in there, were just going, oh, wailing all the time, all night in there. Really weird. It was only afterwards we found out what it was. That so that was Breville, and the battalion got a battle honour for Breville. I think they said there was only 50 came out of Breville. I think I would have counted a few more. And I would have thought about 60 or 70 or something like that. But after 300 going in, there's quite a number killed there, but most of them was wounded. But wounded, there was a good 200 that were wounded at Breville. But it was, I mean to say, it was Breville was bad. But for the rest of the time, from in Normandy right up to we was taken out of Normandy, which would be August, somewhere around August, something like that, that we was in battles all the time. We was either being shelled, mortared, and at one particular place we was out, they used to call it the Brickworks, because it was pre-war, and it still is today, a brickworks where they make brick and other potteries and things like that, and they had kilns there, and of course it was good for being in there when we've been absolutely shelled and mortared, and it was good as any slit trench there because it was on the ground more or less.
How near Breville was this?
Not far away, it's all in the same vicinity of Breville, Amfreville. That was the place, the church where we were at, all in that area, and Ramville. I go back there practically every year, that I've been doing since 1970. So,
what did you think of the German performance in Normandy?
Well, they were very good, excellent. You see, they had the they had better equipment than we did. I mean, to say, we had a Sten gun. They seemed to have Schmeiders, you know, machine gun. And their mortars were a lot better than ours. Moaning minis, we used to call them. And you could hear them coming after, you know, they'd fired them. Better than our 3-inch mortar. They were far better equipped than what we were. And of course, it's only through the numbers, really, that, you know, they were defeated more or less out there. We kept pushing them back.
Did they surrender easily?
No. No, well, going back to Breville, you see, that the Black Watch had a few goals at them, you see, but no, they remained there. I thought there was a good soldier, the Germans.
What happened next?
We came back to England in about August of 44. About August that we returned to England, and we had it was just before September, because we had a month's leave, and of course that was the time of Arnhem. I thought we were all going to get called back. In fact, we should have done, that was on the card, that we was going to reinforce the 1st Division at Arnhem, but of course they more or less surrendered, and what few got back over the Rhine came back, so there was no point in going out there. Right, so there we were back in England, we did quite a lot of training, and came the Runstead's push in the Ardennes, and it was Christmas time, and we was all going home from leave for Christmas, a few of us, and we had a dance on at Lark Hill, where we was stationed, and then we heard rumours that we were going out to the Ardennes. Thought the Ardennes, that's the Americans they've got there. But anyhow, we were called, we had an O group in the early hours of the morning, and said, right, we're off at 6 o'clock from here, and we'll be going down to Southampton, and we're crossing the channel and going to the Ardennes. So this happened, that we went down there and we were off, and we was on the other side the possibly, I don't know, Ostend, or could have been somewhere like that. There were really no names mentioned. You just went on the ship and got off at the other side of the channel there, and we was in backs of three-tonner trucks, and right on the, we went on the road right the way up to the Ardennes, and a place called Namur. And we got off these trucks, and it'd be Christmas Day. And I can always remember having Christmas dinner on the bridge at Namur. And we were there from Christmas Day till about the end of January 1945.
What did Christmas dinner consist of?
I think we got tinned chicken. I'm sure we got. We could have had Christmas pud as well. You know, all McConaughey's in the tins and all that. But it was all right. I mean, to say that the tin stuff was quite good. There was rice pudding in some of them and stew. That was quite good. And then we stayed in there. We was at Bastogne, well, Rochefort, which is close to Bastogne there. The Americans were in Bastogne, and they kept pushing, the Germans pushed the Americans out, and it was Germans one day, Americans the next day in Bastogne. The Americans lost quite a lot of their troops around that area. But it was the coldest winter recorded, and it was freezing, and we was in slit trenches most of the time there, and no blankets, you know. We did get a tot of rum every night. The weather was that bad, and we was slush snow all the time. So we was following the Americans around in Rochefort and Namur, and places around the Ardennes there. Quite a lot of skirmishes with the Germans. And I remember going into a place, we were somewhere on marsh or something like that, and we did get a rest there. And they said, right, so you won't be required for at least, 24 hours, so you can go. So we got together, our platoon, a few of us in our platoon, and said, got the map out and said, where are we here? And, Rochefort's not far away. It wouldn't take as long. It's only about 2 or 3 miles. We could go into the town at Rochefort and see. Well, there's always a bar open there. So I think there were 6 of us went, and we went down this road, didn't meet anybody, and we came to, it was getting dark then, and we saw this light there, and it was a bar. And of course, we went in the bar there, and Madam there, said, oh, British, you see. Said, yeah. It said, well, the Germans are only not far away. So it said, that's all right. Can you do us any food? She said, well, do you egg and chips? So she did egg and chips for 6 of us, and we had plenty of drink in there. And we must have stayed in there till about midnight. And I thought, I hadn't a clue how we were going to get back to where we had come from. So somebody knew. In fact, Eric Barley, he had a good idea, and he says, well, if we stick close to the airfield, we can, get, because we knew we were near the airfield. Anyhow, we got to this airfield, and we could see the runway and all that, and we started to cross it. And all of a sudden, we saw a jeep coming down, machine guns firing at us. And we ducked down, there was these planes on the ground there, and we was on the floor there, and this jeep with about 6 Americans on it, they weren't Germans, they were Americans, and they wanted to grab all of us, wanted to know who we were, because it seemed that there quite a number of Germans had British paratroopers' uniform on, you see, and of course they thought we were Germans. So they took us all, another jeep came, and they took us all to their headquarters and interrogated us there, you see, and then we convinced them who we were and what unit we belonged to. And they found out, and of course, we weren't in there long, and a truck came and picked us up and took us back to our own unit. Now, I thought we'd have been in trouble, but nobody said a word about it. We just went back to our own unit, into our platoon, and that, nobody said a word about it. But I thought, well, that was a lucky escape we had, and that wasn't even the Germans. So we, from there, we evidently, with the Americans and the Germans started to retreat, you see. So we knew that they'd finished, or we were told that they had. And we were sent to Holland, back to Holland on the Mars. And we were there for a few weeks, and then we came back to Lark Hill again.
What happened to you on the Mars?
Not a lot. We were just... in fact, I say not a lot. There was quite a lot going on the Mars with the Germans. And we was in a few skirmishes there, and we lost a few people there. But these things were happening all the time. To any particular incident that you can't relate it, because practically every day you were meeting Germans and you were fighting Germans. And but anyhow, somehow we came back to England, and of course we did another jump. I think we just had one more jump, and of course it was for the build up for the Rhine crossing, which came about on March the 24th, 45, and that we playing in Dakotas, the battalion was in Dakotas, and I think that, I don't know where we flew from there, probably been Keeville, the same.
Where is Keeville?
Keeville, that's Oxfordshire. So anyhow, so the battalion, along with the brigade, Dropped over the Rhine at 10 a.m. Never forget this, March 24th, on the Saturday morning. And we dropped in a open ground there, coming down. Everything was tracers were coming up at us all the time when we, once we jumped. Quite a lot of flak we had, and we could see the Germans firing up at us from most of the corners of the fields. They had guns there in most of the corners. I think I counted at least a dozen. Anyhow, we got on the DZ, the dropping zone, and full of shell holes. So coming across there, we were being fired on all the time. And you'd be down in a shell hole there, quite a number, then up, you know. Our Major Boucher, he had a hunting horn and he was blowing it. He was on, I can always remember him, he was on top of a tank, and a German tank there, and telling us to come on, come on, come on, 12th Battalion, 12th Battalion. And we got went into this wood there, and went through this wood, and we came to a little village, a Hamilcar, and that was where we were supposed to be. And I think that the battalion, I think we must have had at least 400 or 500 of the battalion there that formed up. And we were there for a day or two at Hamilcar, and then off we were on the bush there from Hamilcar to Wismar on the Baltic.
How much fighting did you see?
Quite a lot.
On the Rhine crossing.
On the Rhine crossing, quite a lot. When coming down, and for a day or two after, and then we our next on our route up to Wismar was Osnabrück, and we saw quite a lot of. We had quite a lot of fighting on route to Osnabrück, and in Osnabrück itself, I can always remember with march this night, all night long, the battalion, and we came to a big high wall, it was, and it was about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, it just to be about breaking dawn then, and remember with a chappy called Spink, he was signal platoon, there was two of us, and a few more, and we saw these Germans going into these big gates there of this, at the end of this high wall, and evidently it was the tram depot, and these people, Germans, drivers, were going into work. Believe it or not, they didn't know we were there. You see, well, evidently the Germans had got out of Osnabrück the day before, so there really was no troops left in there. So we went into civilian houses the first time, just like an ordinary estate in England it was. In fact, I didn't think the Germans lived in like housing estates like we had, and it was in, we was in a semi-detached house.